final passage reads, "On that fated land, a great war shall transpire. Darkness will prevail, and light expire." This world is full of light. It's a world comprised of many smaller worlds, all connected, stretching as far as the eye can see. One great light protects us all. All worlds share one light, one fate.
I take it you're talking about Kingdom Hearts.
Yep.
In ancient times, people believed that light was a gift from an unseen land. By the name of Kingdom Hearts. But Kingdom Hearts was safeguarded by its counterpart, the Keyblade. Warriors vied for that precious light, thus beginning the Keyblade War. All of this was decided.
You really think you can change the future?
All of this was decided.
The truth is what you see with your eyes,
not what you hear.
Sounds like your trip around the world opened your eyes, but you got a little bit more than you anticipated.
Must have seen a lot of darkness.
So you're saying the weak feel the need to justify their actions to maintain a sense of self. Can't let that slide. Can't let that slide. I suppose letting false light dictate the future might be a pretty lousy move. So, you can make a change. You have that power. What do you want for the world? You believe the world needs you. Sounds like you already know where you're headed. If you truly possess great power, the darkness can't control you.
All of this was decided.
You really think you can change the future?
All of this was decided.
The truth is what you see with your eyes,
not what you hear.
All of this was decided.
Why not just sit back and watch it play out?
All of this was decided.
May your heart be your guiding key.
Who are you really? Some kind of fortune teller?
Well, I could lie, tell you that's what I am, when I'm actually a brilliant artist, even a scholar. I could tell you that I dream of world peace, when I'm actually planning for its destruction. The truth is what you see with your eyes,
not what you hear.
All of this was decided.
You really think you can change the future?
All of this was decided.
The truth is what you see with your eyes,
not what you hear.
All of this was decided.
Why not just sit back and watch it play out?
All of this was decided.
May your heart be your guiding key. Your guiding key.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Landy Lodge, where today we are talking all things Square Enix and what lies ahead in the future for our beloved Final Fantasy Kingdom Hearts series and all the rest. I have a great guest today who I can't wait to introduce. Just a quick footnote. The connection, much like yesterday, is still a little unstable, so there's a chance that this live stream goes out and that I got to re-upload it after the fact. So just want to make a note of that in case anybody who may be joining us right now live, if the stream goes out, don't worry, the episode will be uploaded in full after the fact. Now, with that said, much love and major shout out to the Sages of the Lodge, those who donate as little as a dollar a month to keep my nonsense going. A lot of love for them. They don't have to do it. They choose to do it anyway. Major shout out to our two newest sages, Will's Word and Roxas13 Prod. But anyway, without further ado, allow me to introduce to you today's guest, none other than the great Mo Chocolate. Mo, what is going on, dude?
Every night when the stars come out, am I the only living soul around? Need to believe you can hold me down, because I'm in need of something good right now. What's up?
Now that's got to be definitely the most confident introduction that any guest has had on the Landy Lodge.
Thankfully, YouTube actually worked this time.
Hey, listen, we're a good 5 minutes in, zero drop frames. We take those, don't we?
Yes. Hi, everybody. Hi, Landy. First, thank you so much for bringing me here to the Lodge of Landys. I've been trying to be a guest here for, God, literally since last year. But you were nice enough to come to my show, Motown Downtown, and now you extend your hand out, and now I'm here in the great Lodge of Landys, and I am loving it so far. Thank you.
Of course, dude, and let me say, I, you know, for those who don't know, Mo, you know, has his own show, Motown Downtown. I was recently a guest on that show, so if people want to go check that out, because you and I had a very cool conversation that's leading to the conversation we're having here today. So if people wanted to go check that out, where could they find you?
Literally go anywhere, YouTube, Twitter, X, I'm sorry. YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, MoChocolate9K. On Twitch, MoChocolate9K. On YouTube, MoChocolate9K. On Instagram, MoChocolate9K. On TikTok, say it with me, MoChocolate9K. Thank you very much.
There it is.
Thank
and
you.
Again, I've got all his links in the episode description if you guys are looking for a shortcut there.
Thank you very much.
Mo, just to be transparent with the audience, we're going to lead off by talking about FF7. We'll probably move into FF16 from there, and then after that, move into Kingdom Hearts, KH4, okay. Missing Link, all that. We also want to talk a little bit of Reconnect here today. But before we get into the FF7 of it all, there is a mandatory question for guests much like yourself that needs to be answered. And
all right.
It's, why Kingdom Hearts? You are a very big Kingdom Hearts fan, and it's a series that you make plenty of content for and about. So my question to you is, of all the series out there, what about Kingdom Hearts really just stuck with you? What about Kingdom Hearts made you want to express your love for the series in many different ways?
Two things, good sir. One, I love Disney. If you, anything you need to know about me is I freaking love... Can we swear here?
You can swear. After the five-minute mark, you can swear all you want.
Are we past the five-minute mark?
Oh, yes. We are clear, baby.
I fucking goddamn piss shit ass dick licking piss tits love Kingdom. I love Disney. I freaking love Disney so freaking much, man. Growing up, I was the biggest Disney nerd. Like Lion King, Hercules, Mulan, Lilo and Stitch, everything. I was a massive, I still am a massive Disney fan. Like, I went to Disneyland last year for the first time, and I got to meet Goofy, and I did the eye-to-eye dance for him, and I loved that whole experience, and just, I love Disney. Lion King is still my favorite, in my opinion, still the greatest animated film of all time, in my opinion.
I gotta agree with you. I'm a big Lion King guy. I'm a big Lion King guy.
The live-action film, though, not so much. But I died.
I didn't even watch it. Mo, you're in a good place. I didn't even watch it. I didn't even watch it. I
digress, yes. But, yeah. So I love Disney. And the gameplay, bro. The gameplay is so addicting. Now, granted, this might be a hot take in my opinion. Kingdom Hearts 1 has not aged the best, if I'm being honest. Like, if you're like, what are you talking about, Mo? Try jumping on those godforsaken hippos. You will know exactly what I'm talking about. In my opinion, the game hasn't aged very well. It's still fun, don't get me wrong. I actually platinum the game
is doomed
recently.
To age, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter what, no game is immune to this, you know? It's not exclusive to Kingdom Hearts 1.
Yeah, like, the first God of War game, it hasn't aged well either. You are right about that. But it's like, I platinum the game recently. The gameplay is a lot of fun. Kingdom Hearts 2, mwah, gameplay. Kingdom Hearts 3, Remind, mwah, gameplay. Birth by Sleep, mwah. Perfect gameplay is just, it's so addicting. The rush you feel when you're playing this game and you're just doing all these razzle-dazzle attacks, love it. So just combination of the gameplay and Disney and just the action of the game, because if I'm correct, it might be the first Square Enix game I've ever became a big fan of.
Really?
I think, now that I think about it. Yeah, yeah, because growing up, I didn't have a PlayStation. I had a N64 and GameCube, so I missed out on PS1, PS2. So, yeah, I think Kingdom Hearts might be the first Square and then Square Enix, yeah. It's the first game I became a big fan of, yeah, yeah.
You know, there is a Disney to Square Enix pipeline. You know, there's definitely a pipeline there. You wouldn't be the first. You know, that's kind of the beauty of Final Fantasy, is I feel like it introduced a lot. No, excuse me. That's the beauty of Kingdom Hearts, is I think it introduced a lot of people growing up with Disney to Final Fantasy, and maybe some people who've been playing Final Fantasy to Disney and vice versa. I talk about it a lot when it comes up, but I'm one of the unique few who, like, I was big on, like, late 90s Disney and, like, Final Fantasy RPGs at the same time. And then when this game came out, it was just like, I don't know, man. No crossover has blown my mind that much since, no matter what they do. Like, you could do Justice League versus the Avengers, and it would not match. It wouldn't even come close to seeing Cloud Strife and Simba within 2 seconds of each other. You know, it's not even going to come close, but
no. I agree.
But I share a lot of those sentiments, Mo. I share a lot of those sentiments about the Kingdom Hearts series. It's
love it.
You know,
I can honestly say it's my favorite gaming series of all time. Like, they're the things I had to go through to wait for Kingdom Hearts 3 information. I'll never forget at D23 2017, I was in line for nearly, I want to say, 5 to 6 hours to get into that stadium for them to reveal Toy Story for Kingdom Hearts. For E3 the same year, I was in line for 6 hours to play a 15 minute demo of Kingdom Hearts 3. No other game I'm willing to do that for but Kingdom Hearts.
That's fair. I mean, I was going to ask you if it was worth it, but I feel like that you already kind of answered that with that reply there. But, look, let's get into the FF7 of it all. So this is the next. We're talking a lot about what's next for Square Enix, right? They had a big cycle here, you know, whether with the things they dropped with FF14 and Endwalker and all the Endwalker patches, to finally dropping FF16 after all this time. It's a question now of where do they go from here? And the first thing on the ticket is Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, which at least the last time I was updated, we can expect this coming winter, which, you know, could be any time from December to April at the end of the day, save for some delays. So it's like, could be anything from December to April. Now, before we really get into it, Mo, can you maybe give your insights of how you came about the FF7 series, why you're interested in it, where you're up to it now? Like, I grew up with FF7, but I believe you're someone who has discovered it quite recently.
I'm what you, I guess I you would call me Gen Z or Gen X FF fan, if I'm being honest. Like the new up and coming fans who played Remake, fell in love with it, and now they want to know the whole lore of 7. And yeah, like you said, well, first I want to mention the whole next winter thing before we get into 7. That is the most confusing release window I've ever heard in my life, because I'm like, wait, next winter? Because they said that back in 2022, right?
I think they actually said that with the latest trailer, the one that dropped recently. They gave winter. I think way back when, like a year ago, they were talking about.
I'm like, wait, so it's not this winter, it's the winter after that, but that would be 20. You know what I'm saying? It's so confusing to me, because I'm like, winter is from December to like March. So I'm like, is it winter of this year, of that year, or the winter of the following year? You know, it was so confusing for me, but I digress. But like, I always knew about Final Fantasy VII. Like, growing up in middle school, high school, there were so many people that would talk about Final Fantasy VII. I knew about the series, but again, I never played it. So like, when my first introduction to the characters was through Advent Children, a friend of mine who is a big Final Fantasy fan, we watched it together, and I've never played a single Final Fantasy game, So I have no idea what's going on, bro. Zero. I know who Cloud and Sephiroth is, but I'm like, I don't know who that is. I don't know who she is. What is this dragon? What, a clone? What? Everything was over my head, but when it focused on Cloud and Sephiroth, loved it. So to fast forward now and rewatch that film, knowing what I know now, I fucking love that movie, bro. Mm-hmm. Love that movie. So, like, yeah, and Kingdom Hearts actually introduced me to a lot of these characters because with I never knew in KH1, those kids on the island, they're Final Fantasy characters.
Yeah,
Final I never Fantasy knew 10. That.
That's Waka.
I never knew that.
FF82, yeah. I believe Selphie is there.
Yeah, when in Birth by Sleep, when you go to the Hercules world, the guy with the long black hair, that was Zack. I never knew that either.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just all these characters. I'm just like, I don't know who you are. But then my first game, because around like, I want to say 2010, I got myself a PS3, and the newest game, Final Fantasy 13, came out. I'm like, you know what? I'll buy it. I'm going to play this game and see how I like it. I did not like it.
Really?
I got a very bad first impression of the series. I returned that game the next day.
Really?
And got a full refund. It's like, I don't know. It just did not click with me at all. Like, I tried playing it. I played probably 5 hours of it. And I was just like, this is boring.
You weren't feeling it. That's okay. That's
yeah,
okay.
Now granted, 2010 Mo was very impatient, just so you know. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it didn't click with me all the way. So I returned the game. But I was very excited for Versus 13, man. I'm like, oh, the people who made Advent Children, Kingdom Hearts, is making this game? Sign me up. So, but we all know what happened to Versus 13.
Yeah, it just didn't come to pass.
Yeah, I mean, technically it did, but we'll get into that. So then I played Final Fantasy 15, and reason why I was excited for it was because, you know, Nomura was involved with it until it became 15. And I loved it. Like, I played the royal version, so I played the better version, if you will. And I loved it. It made me cry. The combat was fun. And I'm like, it's the first Final Fantasy game I played from beginning to end. And I loved it. And then we got Remake, FF7 Remake. And I was in the audience at E3 when they announced that game. And everyone around me is like freaking out. They're screaming. I'm like, what is this? And they're like, it's episode reading. I'm like, no way. Because I remember back in high school, bro, freaking high school, people were talking about a remake to FF7. So I know it's like, you know, back in those days, they Duke Nukem Forever, Diablo 3, and freaking now FF7 Remake. These are the three games everybody wants so badly. So I knew about it. So I play 7 Remake, and bro, can we just get a round of applause for 7 Remake? Everybody in chat, round of applause for 7 Remake, because holy mother of God, what in the name of Galactus' gargantuan gonads? How can you make a game this freaking good? You know what I'm saying?
I didn't know what to expect going into it when it came to Remake, and, you know, definitely want to get into Rebirth soon. But just to give Remake its due, I will say it is probably my favorite combat system ever made. And I don't say that lightly. I do not say that lightly. And I'm excited to see, like, some of the stuff we're seeing on the screen now, how Rebirth is going to expand on the combat. Because don't get me wrong, I love the story. I'm all in on the story. The OG is one of my favorites. But man, it's the combat with this new trilogy that to me is the most compelling. I really want to see what they can do with it.
All of this. Yeah, look at that. Isn't that cool, chat? Isn't this cool, chat, right here? It'll be on the PS5 next year. Hell yeah. So yeah, it's just... And the thing is, like, can we get some love and hype in the chat, please, for Tifa Lockhart, please? Oh boy. Now, I know this is a adult's 18 plus stream, but I will keep my love for Tifa on the down low. I'll keep it G rated just for you, okay? Because my God, that is my waifu. That is my absolute. I am the biggest Tifa stan on the planet. As that, just five words to describe Tifa. Just saying, that's, I love Tifa, I really do. But it's always just like, not only that, the graphics, bro, the graphics. Like, playing the game on the PS5, it looks amazing, but you have to remember it's a PS4 game, right? Imagine the game on the PS5.
Well, that's really what I think is going to make Rebirth kind of mind-blowing, is because, and this is why I think what's next for Square Enix is particularly exciting, because I feel like a lot of what their visions are and a lot of the things they've been planning and wanting to build were essentially bottlenecked by the previous generation. Now, don't get me wrong, PlayStation 4, one of my favorite consoles ever, one of the best catalogs of games ever, but how long did that console cycle last? What was it, 7-8 years plus?
Yeah.
By the time we got to the end of that life cycle, particularly when games like FF7 Remake were coming out, the technology was relatively limited compared to what these computers making the games could do. So even though Remake was like the first of the trilogy, I think one of the things that makes the prospect of Rebirth so exciting is that, oh, now we're going to get to really see what their full-blown vision for remaking this game was. You know, we got Billy the Kid Lawrence with a $5 super chat. Says, Lenny and Mo Chocolate, this is the greatest crossover. It's happening. I see we got Kai the Player in here. Adonai,
what up,
Andy,
playa?
Platinum, Gumbo.
Con Andy, Donahue, love you. DJ's Gumbo, love
here.
You.
Everybody's chilling. That's what I like to hear. But yeah, dude, I mean, look, and let's talk a little bit about Rebirth. You know, I know you haven't finished OG. You played through all of Remake. Did you play Crisis Core?
The remake, yes. And I've been trying to play Crisis Core for years, bro. It's like I didn't own a PSP back in the day, and when I fell in love with 7 Remake, I'm like, I gotta play. Especially after they tease Zack at the end. Oh, but spoiler alert, like that. But it's just I gotta play Crisis Core now, and I'm like, I will either buy a PSP or emulate the game. And lo and behold, they give us a remake. Thank you, Square Enix, for that. And I love it. Zack is officially my favorite Final Fantasy character. Dude, I love Zack. Him. I love him so much that my next cosplay after Axel is Zack.
Dude, Zack. I'll be interested to see it. You did drop some of your Axel cosplay today.
I did.
I do recommend people go check that out. But, you know, again, getting back into Rebirth with Ever Crisis dropping in a couple of days, I do want to talk Ever Crisis 2. But sticking to Rebirth, what are some of the things combat-wise you think they could build on? Because again, I look at a lot of the more recent Square Enix action combat games like, you know, Final Fantasy VII Remake, Final Fantasy XVI, Kingdom Hearts 3, Nier Automata, a lot of these action-based games, and all of them are different. All of them are different. They have their own quirks and their own features. But again, I think Remake in particular is a very strong combat system, and I think they have the opportunity, as far as next year's slot of games goes, to really like just blow away the competition with a next level combat system that pushes what we got with the PS4 to a whole other limit. So what are some of the things you want to maybe see that you see Square Enix doing here in the PS5 incarnation of the 7 Remake trilogy?
Without even thinking, bro, the number one thing I want for Rebirth, give us the ability, give us Leaf Bracer Square. Give us Leaf Bracer, please. That is quite literally the only thing I hate about 7 Remake, that there's no Leaf Bracer. If you're trying to heal your teammates, trying to do an attack, you get attacked and it cancels your attack. I hate that, bro. Give us Leaf or a material that's like Leaf Bracer where you will not be interrupted at all by your attacks. You know what I'm saying?
That's
the number one thing I want.
Mm-hmm. I think that could be a really good idea. Personally, the biggest thing for me is, did you play the Intermission DLC?
I did. Yeah,
you did?
I did.
So, okay. I want more team attacks. Make it more advanced. Build that. Because, again, I love the idea of controlling one character at a time, and at the press of a D-pad, you can cycle to a new character. And, again, one of the things that I think made Remake so much fun, because, again, I think one of the key things in an RPG is that Bumping into battles is not a chore. Leveling up your characters is not a chore. You make it something that you embrace. I think Remake captured that, because at the press of the D-pad, I could be playing a hack and slash with Cloud, or I could be playing a beat 'em up with Tifa, or a more shooter action with Barret, or long distance mage with Aerith. It's like at the press of a D-pad, I had a whole new combat system laying before me. So like, I want to see them do that, but with team attacks, you know what I mean?
Yes, and that was in the trailer too. Tifa and Aerith and Barret and Red 13, aka Nanaki. Now that I know his actual name, thank you very much. But yeah, I want team attacks, a Leaf Racer, and honestly, I would love a jump button. Just saying, I would like to have a jump up button too. Just to spice things up.
I think that could satiate a lot of people's issues with the gameplay.
It's like games like God of War 4, where you can only jump when you're at the ledge and the game tells you to jump. No, give me a dedicated jump button. Mm-hmm. I would love that. Just to make things better. And just what else? Perhaps we could, honestly, I think that's it. Like, if you give us team attacks and Leaf Racer and the ability to jump. Since the world is like open world now, we get chocobos and stuff. I would love more side quests. I want more anything that makes the game more fun, you know what I'm saying? Like mini games here and there, because playing OG7, there's so many mini games, bro.
Dude, the
so
gold
many.
Saucer, bro.
Yeah.
And even outside the gold saucer, like the snowboarding and everything like that.
I did that today. Yeah, it was so much fun.
Yeah, just a heads up, by the way, Mo, the stream lost connection, but I've been recording this whole time. So,
oh, no!
Yeah, when the conversation's done, I'm just going to upload it afterwards. Yeah, dude, I don't know what happened.
Why?
I did a whole podcast yesterday that was live. We didn't have any interruption like this. But, hey, look, the show must go on. I am recording it. So I'll be able to upload it when we...
Oh, man. Of course, when I go live, something goes wrong.
Dude, I'm sorry,
man. Bad luck,
man.
I brought my bad luck to your stream. Sorry.
No, dude, it just means we're going to have you back on for your first full-fledged live performance.
Maybe add me to the panel for a reconnect. I'm just kidding.
Dude, if...
So I played the snowboarding mini game. I loved it. My only complaint is that they should have added music to that mini game. The fact that there's no music is a travesty. You know what I'm saying? Like every mini game has music except for that. Why? Makes no sense.
Well, I'm interested to see what they do with the golden saucer, and I wonder. And this is something I'd like to see them maybe do something cool like this. If like there could be like an online scoreboard from the gold saucer, so they're like you kind of compete online with people and stuff like that.
I guess the hype was too much for your stream to handle.
we broke the stream with all the hype.
We literally broke the stream. But what else? So but I kind of want to rewind it back to a 7 remake, because for someone like me is like playing it, there's so many winks. The game, the people who made this game, they expect you to have already played OG7, because there is so many winks and nudges to
tons,
the OG
dude.
Game that I did not notice it at first. Replaying OG7, oh my god, there's so many references. The freaking Cosmo Canyon drink.
Yep.
I'm like, Cosmo Canyon? It's just, I love that. And just towards the end of the game, it's like, it's a movie, and it's not a game anymore. When Sephiroth picks up the buildings and throws it at you, that's a movie. That is movie quality cutscenes, and seeing the cinematics for 7 Remake, it's like you keep saying to yourself, there is no way they can make graphics better than this, but they keep making graphics better than that. Only Square can, really.
Well, Square does a good job of not just like creating crazy graphics and visuals, but like having a real art style to them. You know, shout out to Nomura on that. But let's maybe talk a little bit about Ever Crisis, because it's dropping in a couple of days. Is that something you're going to let yourself get into?
If my phone will actually work, and like actually because my phone can't even run Pokemon Go. You know, it keeps glitching on me. Mm. I would love to play. I mean, I don't know. I hope it comes to Switch or something. The PS4 can no problem handle a game like that. But yeah, if it comes to consoles, yes, I will gladly play the game. But if it's on mobile, I don't think my phone will be. But I have the Galaxy 21. I don't think it'd be. I will download it and try it. Mm. But I don't think it's going to work, if I'm being honest.
Fair enough. I'm gonna probably try and get to it day one when it drops. Just get to play.
I'm a little confused though because I'm like, is it a pixel remaster of 7 and Crisis Core or a completely different game?
So whatever Crisis is, and again, it's dropping in 2 days. It's a recap of the whole compilation. Like, there's gonna be a Crisis Core pocket you can play, a Dirge pocket you could play, an Advent Ooh. Children pocket you could play. Ooh. So, you know, across the whole compilation. This way, for people who may not have grown up playing all these games or had access to all of them, you can get access to the story and kind of get caught up in time for Rebirth, which it'll be interesting to see what's available at launch and what becomes available between now and when Rebirth comes out. Cause yeah, I gotta say, I'm not usually one for mobile gaming, but that game looks better than any mobile game I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I am excited to give it a shot. I think it could be fun. But yeah, dude, I mean, how do you feel about Square moving into mobile games like this? Cause that seems to be a direction they're going in. I know we have Missing Link, which is on the horizon, Ever Crisis, and you know, a lot of their other IPs have mobile games too. How do you feel about this particular move Square Enix is making towards mobile gaming? Do you think mobile games can become something that's really good and prominent and enjoyed by people who maybe play on console and PC?
Yes, I'm sure it'll be good if it's done right. If you don't fill the game with tons of microtransactions like Nintendo does. Basically, everything Nintendo did with their mobile games, do the opposite of that. Like, don't charge out an arm and a leg for all this content. Like, I'm more than willing to pay it once and then no transactions. No more microtransactions. Because you mean to tell me that they turned Advent Children into a game? Wow. That's impressive.
Or at least, at the very least, a gameplay segment. And I would agree with you. I believe it is going to be free to play. There definitely will be microtransactions, but I don't necessarily mind the microtransactions as long as they're all sort of cosmetically based. You know, not withholding gameplay behind a paywall. You're not withholding. Because again, if you're going to hold gameplay behind a paywall, you will charge me at the door. Don't let me in and nickel and dime me the whole way through. Just charge me at the door.
Yeah.
But so long as the microtransactions aren't about withholding certain parts of the gameplay or withholding certain, you know, again, gameplay aspects like that. If all you're making me pay for is like a few dollars for an outfit for Cloud, a few dollars for an outfit for Tifa, things that I don't need to enjoy the game. Because again, their normal outfits are cool enough. I'm more than satisfied as is. But if, again, a lot of these microtransactions are more based on things that are cosmetic, I personally don't have too much of a problem with that. But like you're saying, if you're going to nickel and dime me about gameplay, then I would rather you just charge me at the door.
I agree. I mean, I'll check it out because, I mean, and knowing all that information about the game. Because the thing is, I love 7, OG 7, but there's a lot to memorize because, my God, it's a long game, and I thought I was close to the end. I'm nowhere near close to the end, so I'm just like, how? Because the game is what, 3 discs?
Mm-hmm.
3 discs. I'm on disc 2.
Okay.
So that means I have one more disc of content, then I'm done, right?
Correct. After disc 3, you will be done.
Oh my God, that's a lot. That's a lot of content for one game. Impressive. Mm-hmm. You actually might have just convinced me, Lodge. I might actually get the game now.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it looks like a lot of fun. I'm rooting for mobile games to be cool because it's obvious a lot of game companies are going to move in that direction. You know, I've had less, more wonky looking handheld systems than my own phone. You know what I mean? I can make that work. I just hope it doesn't become the dominant thing these companies start doing. I do hope it does always remain secondary. But before we move on, because I do want to start getting into FF16 and some of the other stuff, but I know you're still finishing up OG, but what do you think of how they're handling Sephiroth in the newer stuff? Do you have any sort of commentary on that?
It's because this is what I love about Rebirth, is that nobody, whether you're a new fan or an OG fan like you, nobody knows what's happening next. Because the way 7 Remake ends, it's basically a sequel. It's an alternate timeline of 7. Like, it starts off as a remake, but then deviates completely out of left freaking field. So it's just, I love that Aerith might not even die in this game. Like, it might be someone else completely, or all these other changes they do, because people have been telling me the big rumor online is that the Sephiroth you fight at the end of 7 Remake is actually the Sephiroth from Advent Children. Have you heard that rumor?
Yes, and a big part of that is the Black Wing, because he never has the Black Wing in OG FF7, but when he's showing off that Black Wing in Remake, that's like a wink and a nod to Advent Children, because that's when he obtained that. So,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's a big part of where that theory kind of gets its ground.
The way they handle Sephiroth, I loved it. Sephiroth is my second favorite Square character. He is just so badass and cool, and his death stare is so intimidating, and just like the entire time I'm playing 7 Remake, I'm like, I can't wait to fight Sephiroth, and it was a lot of fun. It's just, I can't wait to see in the teaser for Rebirth, Cloud and Sephiroth walking through a field. We're like, what is going on? You know, so it's just, there's so much mystery with Sephiroth and Zack. Is like, what direction are they going? So that's why we're all excited for Rebirth. Hell yeah.
Yeah, because I think with Sephiroth, it seems to me like this whole new trilogy is banking on Sephiroth. You know, don't get me wrong, they're building up Cloud and everybody else more too. But it seems like they're putting all of the weight on Sephiroth. Like, again, you look at how they introduce First Soldier. You look at how they're introducing Ever Crisis. Really making the whole thing orbit Sephiroth in a way. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. I know there's been a lot of discussions, but some people are like, oh, they're giving him a redemption arc. And I don't think it's a redemption arc they're working towards. I think they're making him more tragic. Like Crisis Core shows us that he wasn't always a monster. You know, you kind of see like, oh, he had friends, you know, and he had good times with them and sort of inside jokes. You know, you saw a Sephiroth you don't see in OG or Advent Children. And I think what they're doing is showing you like, hey, the further back you go, the more innocent Sephiroth was, and that he really was just like born into a world where he never stood a chance. Doesn't make him not a villain. Doesn't make him not tragic. Doesn't make him anything that he is and already is. But it does make him, it gives him a little bit more depth. I like what they're doing with him in regards to that. We'll see how far they take it. But before we maybe move on to FF16 and then Kingdom Hearts, you have anything left that you wanted to share about Final Fantasy 7?
What do you think 7 seconds to death means?
Jeez, man, I don't know. It could have something to do with, again, I know people have timed it. The time Sephiroth appears, between the time he appears and stabs Aerith, is 7 seconds. So they're saying maybe you have 7 seconds there. I don't know what it is. It could. It's a good question, because there's no answer.
Well, maybe because, two questions. What do you think the third game will be called? It might be called Reconnect. It might be.
Could be called Reconnect. I think it'll either be called Revive.
Revive.
They might call it Reunion. I know they called Crisis Core Reunion.
Yeah, yeah.
But they might just call it Reunion, so it's like beginning and end. You know, it creates a circle in a sense. So it could be Reunion. It could be Revive. It could be
Relinquish.
Who knows? What do you think?
But yeah, I think Reconnect is a very good possibility, but I think we won't find out until that game what that means, 7 seconds to a death. now, but I do have a theory that I saved this for this recording. F you, YouTube, for busting on us, but my game theory for about Aerith's death, because I feel like Aerith is not the one that's going to die. And here's why I think that, because they know everyone is waiting for that scene. They've dropped many hints to that scene in Remake. So what if they subverted expectations? What if they did something similar but completely different? For example, now, we all know Zack's alive. I don't know how he will go to Cloud's reality, because they're in two separate realities right now. They'll find some way, I'm sure. What if Zack is the one that gets stabbed?
Here's what I think. I think both Zack and Aerith die, but I don't think it's going to be with Sephiroth sneaking up on them. I think they die of their own free will, and they do it in a more self-sacrificial manner. That's what I think this is about. I think a big part of it is, like, now they may not be able to change their fate, but they can... It's like, they may not be able to change their fate, but maybe this time they get to do it willingly, they get to do it sacrificially. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah, but that's, I'm just like, because I remember, if you remember, did you watch The Walking Dead back in the day? Nah, in The Walking Dead, a guy named Glenn dies in the comics. And in the TV show, they do that, but they alter it slightly to where it's different. And I feel like they're going to do something like that in Rebirth or even Reconnect also.
I could see an approach like that where it's the same, but just a little different. They tweak it one or two notches to the left or right.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude. I mean, I'm looking forward to Rebirth. I think a lot of the future Square Enix banks on it in a way.
Day one buy.
It's definitely a day one buy. I'll be interested to see the sales numbers. Because again, I think Square's banking a lot on this trilogy. So
anything with FF7 in it prints money. Anything.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at all the games with FF that without the FF7 universe thing they created. Every single one of those games was a big hit. Why? Because FF7 was in the title. So it's just, and hell, Remakes sold a lot of money. I think it's like the third highest or fastest selling game on PS4, I think. But Rebirth, because after the way Remake ends, we all want to play Rebirth now. We got to know. It's like the ending of Avengers Infinity War. Like, we really want to know what happens next now. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you.
I can't wait. Day one bye, man. Oof, can't wait.
Me neither. But let's get to talking a little bit about FF16. I believe you said you just did your first icon battle?
Yes. And I had to change my boxers after that stream because holy fuck. I seriously don't understand how anyone cannot like this game. That was one of the most epic things I've probably ever done in a video game. And what's crazy, Landy, is that it gets even crazier than that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my, that was pretty freaking crazy. But you mean to tell me that it gets even more insane than that? Cannot wait. Did you beat the game?
Yep, I've finished the game. I'm on my second playthrough, probably 70% done with the second playthrough, playing it on hard mode. It's better on hard mode. I felt the same way about 7 Remake. I felt the same way about Kingdom Hearts 3. I think the more you level up the difficulty, the more it brings out of you in the combat, you know, because you at the end of the day, you only fight as good as you need to win. And when you make winning more difficult, it forces you to just get better and utilize the functions and tools that you have at your disposal in a better way.
Is there a new game plus mode?
Something like that. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's new game plus, like you keep your stats and stuff. But I'm a big fan of it, and I think FF16 was a big step in the right direction, because I think FF15, I'm someone who enjoyed it, maybe not as much as you, but I'm someone who enjoyed it.
I loved it.
Yeah, but I do think, though, that it did sour the reputation for Square and Final Fantasy a little bit, and I think FF16, even though it's divisive on internet forums...
Yeah.
I think you can't you can't saddle it with the same accusation you could 15. I think this game did way more good than bad for the Final Fantasy brand. And I think a lot of people who make this their first Final Fantasy will keep coming back for more.
Yeah, it's like the game sold well. They made $3 million, I think, the first week,
on
which
a
is good.
Platform, the PlayStation 5 is still a fraction the size of PS4, PC, Nintendo Switch. It is a fractionated audience. And to sell 3 million copies that quickly, and they're porting it to PC. That's another thing. They are porting it to PC. So
it's just like, I'm seeing a lot of mixed results online. People, they confirm, Square confirmed the game underperformed than what they expected. And I'm just like, it sold well. I mean, I guess like it sold well if they broke even, they got their money back. But I guess they were expecting 7 remake numbers, you know?
And I think they're going to do 7 remake numbers. I think it's just going to take some time. Like, I think this is just a game that when you pick up your PS5, this is just one of the games you grab, you know? Because again, the catalog on PS5 is still very small.
Yeah, we're only like, what, 3 years into PS5? So that's no surprise. But it's just, I love the game. I love Clive. I love his partner. I forget his name. Clive. I love... No, not Clive. Sid. Wow. It's been a long day. Forgive me. Okay, I love Sid. I love Jill. I love... the dog's name, don't tell me what's his name again.
Torgel.
Huh?
Torgel.
I love the dog. My only complaint is that I wish there was more magic options. Because in 7 Remake, I would spam fire, spam thunder, spam ice. But 16, there isn't really a focus on magic as much. There is cure, but like not much magic, you know what I'm saying? I wish there, like maybe the dog shoots magic or something, you know? I think that would be pretty fun. But the combat, I feel like definitely they were focusing more on Western audiences. Because now I love hack and slash and JRPG, action RPG like Kingdom Hearts. I love that combat. But I feel like Square, the OG hardcore Square Enix fans are missing the turn-based combat, you know? And I feel like turn-based is still there. Look at the Persona games. They're a lot of fun. I played it. I loved it. But I always prefer just going in swords blazing. That's my preferred way of playing. So I feel like this game is... there's so many... if you play Devil May Cry, there's so many similarities to Devil May Cry. Like, at one point, Clive gets a sword that I swear to God looks just like Dante's sword. And a lot of his attacks are similar to Devil May Cry, because obviously the guy who made the combat made them worked on this game, so that's why. But it's just, do you feel like they focus more on making Western audiences happy than their Japanese audience?
I think it's a little bit of a mixed bag when you follow Square Enix. I think you have to consider that it was about a year ago. They sold off all their Western properties.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, so I think to a degree, they're very focused on their Eastern audience. I think what they're trying to do, I think they're looking at the Assassin's Creed audience, the God of War audience. They're looking at those audience and going, how do we sugar the Final Fantasy pill? How do we sugar the Final Fantasy pill and tap into those Western audiences? Right? Because, look, they've got... again, their audience in Japan. They've got a big faction of nerds here in the West, like myself, like yourself, who are all in on this kind of stuff already. But I think what they're looking for is, how do we get Final Fantasy into the hand of a more casual gamer? And I think there are benefits to that. I think there are detriments to that. I think it's a bit of a mixed bag. I don't think they're particularly catering to one or the other. I think they're going to do what they want to do in terms of what they're putting out, in terms of sensibilities, sensitivity, stuff like that. Like, they're always going to do what's going on in Japan. But I do think they are trying to, again, sugar the Final Fantasy pill to bring a more casual Western audience into the world of Final Fantasy. I think Final Fantasy 15 succeeded in appealing to people in that way. If you look at the sales numbers, it's over 10 million copies sold.
Oh, yeah.
It succeeded, but it fumbled. So they're like, now that we're not fumbling, how do we get them to just do it again or try it again?
Yeah.
So I don't know. To answer your question, I'm not quite sure. But I do want to discuss these DLCs for a second. I'm not going to go into anything too spoilery.
All right.
When it comes to any of that.
I'm sorry, man. People online, please stop sharing photos of the ending of 16, please. It's like, I know there's somebody laying on a beach, but I turn away and I don't want to know what happens. But it's just, you show the credits and that's it. Stop showing the ending of the game online, but carry on. That was my rant.
At least if you are going to do something like that, tag it with a spoiler or something.
Yeah, seriously.
Do something, warn people, you know, anything like that. Now, Mo, I was going to have this pulled up on stream for you to see, but you know what? Let me edit this part out
and just like show me to send it here. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, I send it to on Discord. So let's go over some of this. There's new outfits.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you see those outfits? You have a new outfit for Clive, new outfit for Jill, new outfit for Torgel, and this is a free download. This is a completely free download that they're giving out in good grace. I wish this was more normal. I wish this wasn't like a surprise.
I agree.
That you're getting something for free, but I think all those outfits are really cool. As you see, you get this new weapon, which I think is pretty cool. A little bit unsure of what the effects of it are.
Yeah.
They show you how to do the costume change. I think it's pretty cool. I wish, I hope we get more of this. I hope this isn't just like a one-stop shop. I do like the idea of Square Enix along with the paid DLCs, because again, they announced two paid DLCs for Final Fantasy 16. And I hope that for every announcement for new DLC, there are these free updates, these free DLCs they give out. I don't know. What's your take on this?
Now, I'll be honest, I'm not really feeling Clive's new outfit. Something about it just, I wish there was more color. Like, I love how Clive has red in the middle and like black in with a black cape. This is just all black. I wish there was more color, and it looks to me like he walked through fire or something. Now, Jill, I like that outfit. I like a lot. I can't remember Jill's outfit, her default outfit, but honestly, I liked it. It's very elegant, very form, very prestige, if you ask me. Very, like, royalty. I like it. Now, the dog, I don't like it, if I'm
being
honest.
You don't like it? I love it, dude.
He's covered in glitter.
He's a frost.
It's like he's covered in glitter. So like he jumped into a pool of glitter and came out. I guess I like the color pattern better in the default setting, if I'm being honest.
I respect that.
Now, the sword I do like.
Yeah, the sword is cool, man. I dig it.
Wow, I don't see it at all. But yeah, I mean, I'll check it out. I'll play a mission with this outfit and see if I like it.
Yeah, who knows?
But
maybe
it glows. Cool.
Maybe it glows or something. You never know, right?
If it glows, I like that. Like, if Clive, like, if his armor glows, hell yeah, sign me up.
So what do you
and
think
it's,
about...
It's free, so I'm new about it.
You know, again, we showed off some of the free DLC there. They announced two paid DLCs. We'll see what they're doing. Maybe they take the 15 approach. They do, like, a episode Joshua, episode Jill, things like that. Maybe episode Leviathan, something like that. But I wanted to maybe get your take on... It coming to PC, do you think that's going to be something Square Enix does a little bit more often, that the window between the console release and PC release are going to continually shrink?
Honestly, I am all for PC releases. Like, at first, I was kind of against it, but then when I started having more common sense, I'm like, wait a minute. This makes the company more money. This allows more mods. This means that you can play the game at higher frames, higher resolution. You can use any controller you want. And just, this will make them more money and thus make us more games. So you know what? Go for it. Can you imagine the mods for Final Fantasy 16? Like that in and of itself. I'm looking forward to like Sorfy fighting Shrek or Clive fighting Thomas the Tank, and you know I cannot wait because you know he fights these giant Or what if you become Thomas the Tank Engine?
No,
when you
no,
become
no.
Ifrit.
You were called, you almost got it the first time. Actually, no, I don't want to say it because it's going to be a spoiler. It's going to be a spoiler, but just all replace right. one of the icons with Shrek and you have the yeah. best boss battle of all time.
Yes. So like that alone makes me want this game on PC. And it'll sell better because honestly, I've had no problem playing the game on PS5. I'm playing with the frame rate for I'm playing the game for it to focus on frame rate, but it tends to stutter a lot. Like I was playing last night and I was fighting somebody and Clive wins and he just turns around, but he was like stuttering. I'm like, why are you stuttering, PS5? It should be smooth 60 frames. So with PC, that'll definitely fix that issue. So yeah, I'm all for the PC release. And I have a question for you now, Landy.
Fire away.
What advice would you give me for someone who just beat the first icon battle? And now I did a few side quests. Since you know how the game ends, what's to come? What advice would you give me in terms of like combat or what weapons or just any general advice?
Okay. So with combat, don't be afraid to mix it up. Don't be afraid to die. Like the game's pretty forgiving with death, drops you off right where you are. So don't be afraid to, you know, mix things up to try and discover new combos. I often found that the more risks I was willing to take, the more cool stuff I learned to do in terms of combat. I'll say this, keep doing the side quests, but when
Everyone says that.
But I will tell you, when you get to the end of the game, and you know how like when you get to the end of the game, games typically warn you like, hey, no real going back from here, you know, make sure you do everything you want to do. Let me tell you, when the game gives you that warning, do every side quest. Do all of them. The end game side quests are not only some of the best side quests in terms of gameplay, the cut scenes will give you so much context for the ending. So that's what I would recommend to you.
Yeah, everyone says like do as much side quests as you can. Apparently, the only way to ride a chocobo is do a side quest. So it's just all these things that everyone keeps saying, and I'm like,
oh, wait, that's how you unlock it. Yeah.
Unlock is the side quest. I mean, I did the soil side quest where I go to this place. She's like, I need dirt. I'm like, okay. So I did that side quest. So I'm all for it. But yeah, I'm loving 16 so far. It's like the combat is so addicting. And the way you can customize how you fight, whether you can have automatic dodge or you choose the dodge. My biggest issue when I first played the game was dodging with R1. I hated that. I was not a fan at all.
I got used to it, but that's really us just being used to other combat systems.
Yeah, because like I'm used to pushing like circle. I'm like, if they can switch R1 and circle, I'll be happy.
Yeah, I was gonna say, go ahead.
They did that.
Yeah, they did just that, exactly.
And another issue was the motion blur. You couldn't change it. I wanted to like get rid of it completely, and I'm like, oh, that sucks. And now you can adjust the motion blur. So I literally have no problem with the game now. So well, props you, Square, for listening to the fan base.
This
awesome.
Has been Square's strength the last 5 years. They've been very good at listening to fan feedback, you know? And not that all fan feedback is good, but they seem to be very gratuitous about listening to the audience about things, especially gameplay related. Again, I'm not sure they should care too much about their story opinions, but gameplay opinions, you definitely want that feedback.
But you want to know what my absolute favorite thing is about 16?
Yeah.
The cast. Are fucking meme lords. The voice of Clyde is a meme lord. Every single week he does a video, I'm Mario, I'm Zelda. Mm-hmm. Can I have a ticket to a Bobby, please? And even the I forget her name, the female voice actor, she also did, can I get a ticket to Oppenheimer, please? Mm-hmm. It's so funny. And I forget the guy's name, but he sang the Bowser song on Twitter. And just all the cast itself is so hilarious. And I love that they embrace the memes and I'm all for that.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun watching them, especially like get involved in the whole like Final Fantasy Zeitgeist. Because big thing is, they sat on this game for a long time. Like, they did the voices for this game over a year ago. So I'm sure that once this game got released into the wild, they just decided they were gonna, you know,
have fun,
have some fun with it. And I'm glad they did. I'm glad they did.
At the end of the day, they're all nerds like you and me.
Yep. I mean, you would hope so. And even if they're not, as long as they do their job well at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the voice actor for Clive will be nominated for best performance by a male actor. I'm pretty sure.
I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to it. I thought he did a brilliant job as Clive. He's definitely one of my favorite Final Fantasy protagonists.
I like him. I like him, yeah.
But as far as
I kind of like him more than 15 Noctis, if I'm being honest.
I did too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
I like it.
So
now we talk about OG7.
OG said you want to go back to FF7?
Oh, we already talked about it?
Yeah, we talked about FF7 for like 30 minutes before FF16.
Because there's more I wanted to say.
Okay, all right, we could go back to it. I was going to move us to Kingdom Hearts because we talked about the two paid DLCs, talked about all those updates. You talked about the controller functionality updates. Let's hop back over to FF7 for a second. What else did you want to bring up before we move into the Kingdom Hearts of it all?
I always wanted to get into Final Fantasy. Because growing up, going to conventions, going to events, I would see all these cosplayers as Final Fantasy characters. And I'm like, besides Cloud, I have no idea who any of you are. So it's just all these years goes by and I'm like, I want to know who these characters are. I want to become a Final Fantasy VII fan. So like, replaying, deep diving into the series now with 7 Remake, Crisis Core Remake, and 15 and 16 and 7 Rebirth. It feels good for me, for someone who is new to the series, to now finally know who all these Jesse, Bej, Wedge, and Tifa, and Marlene, Nanaki, and just Zach, all these characters. Now I know who they are. I love that, bro. I love that now I pretty much know everything there is to know about OG7. And I just, for shame on me for waiting till now to play OG7, because the game is fucking amazing. I always was like, the graphics look like shit. I'm not playing this game. The gameplay is so much fun.
Yeah, this, I mean, the combat has aged very well.
And it's such a deep story. It's actually very mature and R-rated too. Like when you meet Sid, he is swearing up a storm. He really is. Like they tone him down a lot in Kingdom Hearts. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
They tone down a lot, and I love learning about all these characters. The backstory with Barrett is deep. Why he has a gun for a hand, the backstory with Nanaki. I'm like, oh, I thought 13 was his name. No, it's Nanaki, and I never knew that. And I love that. And just the backstory between Cloud and Sephiroth, I've gotten to the point now where you give Cloud, when Cloud gives Sephiroth the black interior the second time. And wow, the lore dump that game gives you. It's just, I love that this game is really just opening my eyes to the possibilities of what Rebirth is going to do. So it's just, I love it, bro. I love it. It's just, I am so ashamed of myself for waiting till now to play this incredible game.
No, it's the timing couldn't have been better in some ways. I mean, at the end of the day, FF7 Remake was a remake of the tutorial. The real FF7 Remake, that's what FF7 Rebirth is going to be. So I know I'm really looking forward to it. I think, again, it's going to be a big indicator of where Square Enix is headed. They need this game to be a success. I think that's why Ever Crisis is coming out soon. Really helped pave the way to FF7 Rebirth's release. But I'm excited for it, but I do want to...
It might be two discs, too. It might be two disc Rebirth.
It's a big game. It is a
Can't
big game.
Wait.
So I want to move us over to the Kingdom Hearts of it all. So let's talk about the elephant in the room. Mo, are we going to see Kingdom Hearts 4 or Missing Link at Tokyo Game Show?
I'm sorry, about what game now?
Either Kingdom Hearts 4 or Missing Link.
I'm going to keep this Keyblade now here while we talk about Kingdom Hearts. Anyway, yes, I'm sure we will get... I feel like Square right now is focusing solely on Rebirth, but at the same time, sprinkle some Kingdom Hearts information too, because it's still saying it's coming out this year. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, unless they announce it at the event for 2024, Missing Link is still missing. So they need to acknowledge it. Like, I'd be happy with a small teaser trailer. Just give us an update, and if you change the release date, cool. At least vocalize that with us, Square. That's all we ask. But yes, I do believe it will be at Tokyo Game Show. Yeah.
All right. So I'll come at you with some opposition. Again, I'm actually gonna hope that I'm wrong here, but I actually think we're not gonna get anything. I think with Ever Crisis dropping in 2 days, they're not going to want to hype up another mobile game with an overlapping audience too close to that release date. I honestly think what you're going to see is just like you saw right before FF16 came out, they started to ramp up the Rebirth stuff. I don't think we're going to get any Kingdom Hearts stuff until we get close to the Rebirth release date. I think the marketing relationship you saw between FF7 Rebirth and FF16, I think you see a similar approach with Kingdom Hearts and FF7. Especially because their audiences overlap.
So you're saying that next year then, like after Rebirth comes out, all their focus will be Kingdom Hearts?
Yes. Kingdom Hearts and the FF16 DLC.
Okay. Because, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but Rebirth is like a introduction to KH4 or something?
You said Rebirth. Yeah, you really threw me. Like, is Rebirth an introduction
a long
to
day,
KH4?
Yeah, but yeah,
like,
yeah.
I fucking hope not.
That'd be pretty crazy, but not. Missing Link will be an introduction to 4?
No, so Missing Link is going to take place in Scala Ad Kylum. So it's taking place, basically, do you remember from the end of Union Cross where Brain got transported to Scala Ad Kylum?
Yeah.
Missing Link is, in a sense, going to be picking up where that left off. And you'll be able to create your own character and move through the Missing Link world, Scala, during that era. So I have a feeling you see now how a lot of the stuff that happened in Union Cross had heavy implications on things that happened in Kingdom Hearts 3?
Yeah.
I think you get the same thing with Missing Link, where a lot of the things that happened in Kingdom Hearts Missing Link will have repercussions or a ripple effect into Kingdom Hearts 4, even though they're happening at very different points in the timeline.
So I do remember some guy with a fedora comes up to you and talks to you. So yeah, I'm really curious to see how the combat is going, because honestly, the graphics look nice for a mobile game, you know?
Dude, it looks like a PS3 game.
Yeah? So I'm just like, do I push a button? Do I swipe? Like, how's the combat going to work? You know what I'm saying? So I'm looking forward to that and just how it'll connect to KH4, which that is going to be a huge mystery with that game. But yeah, I think, honestly, bro, I kind of would have to agree with you, because yeah, I feel like it would make sense for them to wait till after Rebirth to come out to like just swan dive and just shower us with Kingdom Hearts content. You know, so it's like we've had 16, we had Remake and Rebirth, and now they'll be like, now they can quench our thirst with Kingdom Hearts news.
Yeah, because again, I think you have an overlapping audience between the two series, especially with FF7 and Kingdom Hearts. I just don't see them marketing those two things very close together. So again, with Ever Crisis coming out in 2 days, the last thing they want, Mo, is people like you and me getting excited for Missing Link.
I mean, we can download both, you know. I would assume they're both free. So I'm like, I have no problem just double dipping into both series, you know.
Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, attention is the highest form of currency.
Yeah,
they don't
want
to divide
your
attention between those two worlds.
You're right.
Because I think they're coming. I think both projects are closer than we may think. I was optimistic enough to think we might get Missing Link this summer. Not happening. I think maybe springtime is more likely. That's what I think.
So like March?
April, May.
So, but hey, if Missing Link does pop up, you'd be like, oh, thanks for proving me wrong, Square.
I would love to be wrong. I hope everything I just said in the last 5-10 minutes ages like milk. That's where I'm at. I have no problem being wrong.
I agree. But yeah, it's so weird for me to be excited for a mobile game for once.
Dude, yeah, I mean, again, between both Ever Crisis and Missing Link, while I'm not crazy about Square Enix going down the mobile game route, like, I'd prefer if the spin-off games were just on, I don't want to call them spin-off, but you know what I mean. I just wish those games were on console like the old days, or that there was,
yeah.
That's the problem too, is they don't really have a choice, because a lot of this got put on handheld gaming. Chain of Memories, handheld, Crisis Core, handheld, all that kind of stuff. Handheld is where that went. And when this is really the only handheld option, I kind of get it.
Yeah, I'm all for it. But it's like, do you think, I mean, besides Melody and Memory, do you think Square will ever release another Kingdom Hearts game on the Switch?
No. Not new. I would like, here's the other thing. I would love to be wrong. And I would love it if Missing Link was coming to Switch. I would love, but I just don't see it.
I'm down.
A game dependent on online functionality going to the console with the worst online functionality.
Yeah.
I just don't see it happening.
That would suck, yeah. And I feel like they... What was that?
Somebody speeding on a motorcycle outside my house.
Well, cut for edit and go. Anyway, yes. So like, yeah, it's... Oh, great. I lost my train of thought. What we were talking about, Square... Oh, yeah, Nintendo Switch. Yeah, I don't see it either. But it was just a question that popped up in my head. But do you think we'll get a big Rebirth trailer at Tokyo Game Show?
I think that's the most likely thing. I think the most likely thing is another Rebirth trailer. And maybe one with a release date, because we still don't have an official release date for it. So maybe some kind of release date trailer would really do the
trick. I hope it comes out in a March. I don't think February would be a good month. My 2 cents. I think March would be a perfect month. March is like all the big AAA game month, you know?
See, I'm just like, I hope it's December. I hope it's around the corner. I hope it's right there.
I'm down. Yeah, my only request for Square, for Rebirth, but definitely Kingdom Hearts 4. Don't spoil half of the game again, Square. Kingdom Hearts 3, we got a new trailer every single month to a point where we knew almost everything but the ending. You know what I'm saying? And that ruined the game, in my opinion. I feel like that's why a lot of people did not like 3, is because there was no surprises. For me personally, after the Dark Aqua reveal, I stopped watching all trailers. So when I played the game, there were actual surprises for me. The Lingering Will showing up, that was a surprise. The final boss for the Frozen World, surprise. I had no idea it was a giant wolf. No idea.
So yeah, I think they've shown they've gotten better with that, because honestly, FF16 did not have that problem. Kingdom Hearts 3 Remind did not have that problem. Melody of Memory did not have that problem. I think they learned their lesson, because again, as I always say, as a KH3 supremacist, they showed way too much in those trailers. And
way
I think the game,
too much.
I think the game would have had an even more positive reception if you left some of that to be a surprise. Especially when you consider Anti-Aqua didn't last long. Still was a great moment, still important.
Yeah.
But considering it didn't last long, you should have just left that to be a shock, a surprise.
Yeah. It would have been much better, but we knew it was coming. The fact that Sora was fighting Dark Aqua, that should have been a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously. Playing as Riku should have been a surprise. Ugh. Playing as Aqua was a surprise, thankfully. But yeah, they showed off way too much, bro, and I'm glad I avoided all the trailers, because my experience was better because of it.
Well, it's a good call on your part, man. I mean, look, the Kingdom Hearts 4 trailer, off to a good start. I don't think they really gave away too much. They left it pretty ambiguous.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, when we see Cage 4 again, it's going to look bleeps and bounds better, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it'll be to a point where the reveal trailer will look like a tech demo. I guarantee you.
That's what we have to consider, too, is everything we saw in this trailer might get scrapped.
Yeah.
It might just get completely scrapped from the game. They showed us next to nothing. It looked like it could be like the tutorial level, you know, something that could be subbed in and out. But even with what they showed us, man, it's exciting stuff.
It's like, I guarantee you Cage 4 is going to look better than 7 Remake. And it already looks next gen because this game is being made on Unreal Engine 5. Rebirth is still Unreal Engine 4.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, God, can you imagine how it's going to look?
I wonder how it's going to play. You know what I mean?
Do you think all the complaints because I'm sure they've heard about the complaints people had with 3. So do you think they'll take that into consideration?
Of course they will, just based on their track record. I think KH3's combat's biggest problem was the mob fights. I think the mob fights were a little gruesome sometimes. The one-on-one fights, fights could not be better. The limit cut bosses could not be better. Like, all those one-on-ones were perfection. I think the mob fights need a little bit of work. That's all I'm really hoping for. I want to see elevation in the combat. I want to see them really build on what they made in Kingdom Hearts 3.
And we all want Sephiroth as a secret boss again. We all want that. I mean, it wouldn't make sense for Sephiroth to be there also. It wouldn't make sense.
They could easily swing it with the whole quadratum square thing. Place of the Undead. Like, that's where...
Star Wars. Yeah. Star Wars is apparently in the game.
Could you imagine a scene? Could you imagine, like, you know how, like, the Final Fantasy characters were lingering around the Olympus world a lot? Can you imagine they're lingering around the Star Wars world? And you have Darth Vader and Sephiroth in a scene together? Do you know what that would do to people?
That would break the internet.
Could you imagine they got into a fight?
That would break the internet. That would absolutely break the internet. That's something I never thought I would love to see. Darth, either they're together or they end up fighting. Just, wow.
I'll just take it, you know?
I will take it. People will automatically say that this is better, the best game in the series. Do you think we will know what's in the box in 4? I don't think we will. That's something they're going to hold on to for... until Kingdom Hearts 5, maybe.
I think we will.
Oh, okay.
I think we will, only because I think the one they're playing, the mystery they're playing the long game with is going to be the Master's identity.
Yeah.
So I think KH4, we may get to know what's in the box, but I'm not sure it's opened. But then again, I don't know. Maleficent could get a hold of that thing tomorrow.
And she opens it and it cuts to a black. She opens it, her eyes widen. She's like, oh my, and then cuts to black. Like, damn you, Nomura. Like, we still don't even know the mom's name. Mm-hmm. We still don't know his freaking name, for God's sakes. They're just, they're playing the long game with mom and the box. And I like it. I'm all here for it.
Yeah, and again, I think that's Kingdom Hearts' strength. With its narrative is that it allows itself to build over an extended period of time. Again, that's not for everybody. For every person, that's going to satisfy. Another person, it's going to be a deterrent.
Yeah.
But I do think what they're doing with the Kingdom Hearts series is smart. Keeping the gap between number titles as small as you can.
Oh, my God.
I think that's going to be very important for them moving forward, and I think that's what their approach is here.
That's the biggest surprise with KH4, bro. We go from Kingdom Hearts 2 to 3 in 13 freaking years. From 3 to 4, one game? Thank you. Thank you, Square. Thank you. That's the biggest surprise out of all of this.
Yeah, and again, I'm not sure when we're going to get the news. You know, it seems like it's all about Final Fantasy right now. We just got the FF16 DLCs. We've got FF7 Ever Crisis dropping. I really feel like they're letting Final Fantasy have its day in the sun. And then once, yeah. maybe later in the fall, when things have quieted down, like I could see a Game Awards trailer. I could say,
oh, yeah.
to me, that might be a good time for something oh, yeah. to pop up.
Yeah, we got a Rebirth trailer at the Summer's Games Fest, so we're almost guaranteed to get one at the Game Awards, and I wish I'm going to by the way.
Oh,
so
nice, dude.
If you hear a scream in the background, that's me. I can't wait. Is a good year to be a gamer, a good year to be a Square Enix fan? Hell yeah. We got 16, Rebirth of Crisis Core, and now KKH4, and Missing Link. Five games coming out soon.
Not to mention with FF14, they got Dawn Trail coming out.
14 is still relevant. Like, people are still talking about it.
Dude,
hell yeah.
It's probably my favorite game to play right now.
I'll play it, but I'm not really into MMORPGs. If I'm being honest, like WoW and Dota and
none of those ever really clicked with me either. I've got to be honest. I gave it a shot because it's the Final Fantasy name, and I will say it is a Final Fantasy game before it's an MMO.
Okay,
I will say that. It's definitely my favorite Final Fantasy since 10. I do like it more than 16. I love 16, but 14 is my favorite Final Fantasy since 10. I think it's very special. I think Dawn Trail is going to be huge. You know, when we're talking about what Square Enix is trying to do right here, they're the biggest MMO in the world, and I don't think anybody would have seen that coming. I don't think anybody would have seen Final Fantasy eclipsing World of Warcraft as the world's biggest MMO, but yet here we are. They have to keep that up. FF14 is their biggest moneymaker right now. So they got to try to not lose momentum. So Dawn Trail will be interesting to see.
Wasn't 14 on PS3 first? I'm trying to remember.
Yep.
And then they went to PC and it just blew up even more, right?
Yep. I mean, I play it on both my PS5 and my PC. It's very accessible. Yeah. It's such a good time, man.
I'm glad, man. And it's exciting to see all these high-quality AAA games coming out back to back to back. Now, we're not waiting like a year or something. Every single month, every other month, something big comes out, and I love it. Well, we got Spider-Man 2 coming out soon. We got Mario Wonderland coming out soon. We got Rebirth, and then hopefully Missing Link, and then Kingdom Hearts 4.
Well, again, we were talking about it earlier. Square Enix sold off all those Western properties, and what's been the result of it? The result is their flagship series are getting a lot of attention, a lot of development. I mean, look, I'm not a Dragon Quest fan, but I'm sure Dragon Quest has something coming down the pipeline soon. It's been a joy to watch.
It's cheers. Cheers to Square Enix. Love you. Love y'all.
My water's empty, but I'll still cheers.
Yeah.
So Mo, is there we've covered, again, to cover everything Square Enix, we would need like a 6-hour podcast. But for as far as Final Fantasy and Kingdom Hearts goes, was there anything else you wanted to bring up today that we haven't brought up?
Let me think. I personally would love it, even though I don't think this would be possible, because I think with Kingdom Hearts, they only add properties that Disney made themselves. You know what I'm saying? I feel like with 4, they might be adding small things from Star Wars. I want to see more Marvel in Kingdom Hearts. I want to see the Avengers, the Hulk, Iron Man, all these. Because Square did make the Avengers video game, and that flopped. So maybe they can try again with Kingdom Hearts 4 or even 5. Like really deep dive into the Marvel aspect of the game. And yeah, that's what I would love. I would love that. And we know that the Super Switch is coming out next year, hopefully. So maybe, and apparently, it'll be as powerful as a base PS4. That's rumors. If that's true, then maybe another spin-off Kingdom Hearts game can be on that console. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think part of the leak was that person said it was a Square Enix dev kit. So interestingly enough, that like Super Switch leak might have come out of the Square Enix side of things. Again, that's just a rumor. Don't take that as fact.
Yeah, dude,
it's an exciting time. There's a lot of things going on, a lot of moving parts, and it'll be interesting to see how Square Enix plays it in the months and years to come.
And by the time Kingdom Hearts 4 comes out, hopefully Persona 6 will also be available. I see P5 behind you. I love P5. Recently played it, but now I'm ready for Persona 6. Can't wait for that either.
Yeah, dude, and I think we'll hear more about it. They're going to let Reload have its time in the sun. But shortly after that, I'm sure we'll hear something.
But yeah, thank you again, buddy, for bringing me out here. This was how long have we been live for?
We've been rolling for about an hour and a half. Kind of flew by.
Feels like 30 minutes. I love talking about games.
Likewise, dude. And yeah, dude, my apologies if the stream buckled out half hour in, you know?
Oh, we forgot to talk about Reconnect.
Yes, I'm not going to play the ad. Actually, wait, no, even though we're not live, I could play it. Let me throw it on.
Go ahead.
Yes, sirree. Reconnect is on the way. It's a week away. Very excited for it.
It's next week. Oh, my God.
I'll be there. Lots of fun stuff, guys. If you're not going in person, there's an online event. Make sure you're following guides, KH guides across platforms, and you won't miss a thing. You won't miss a thing.
I want to give a big shout out to the homie, the bestie, Bambina Fofina, because she's doing me a solid for Reconnect. So I'm going as Axel this year for Reconnect. Yay. It was not cheap for the wig and the Keyblade, but there is no possible way the airport will allow me to bring the wig. I mean, the wig may be fine, but that Keyblade is this big and it's sharp, and they're not going to allow a blunt object on the plane. So I'm mailing it to her, and she will bring it to me at Reconnect. Then after Reconnect, she will mail it back to me. So I want to give a quick shout-out to her. Thank you so much, friend. Love you to death. Thank you very much for your help.
Major shout-out. And the two of you just did an episode of your show together, didn't you?
Yes. Fantastic guest.
Yep, I recommend everybody check that out. But, hey, with that said, we are going to wrap up here. Mo, it's been great. We're going to have you back on so you could do a full-blown live episode.
Hell yeah.
Live episode. We'd love to get you in with the chat. But, everybody check out Mo. All his links are in the description. Thanks for hanging out, everybody. We're going to get this internet thing fixed. It worked just fine yesterday. Don't know why it didn't today, but we'll figure it out.
You have been testified. Peace out.
Peace out, everybody. Thanks again for hanging out.